Next week, next Thursday, we shall be dealing with one of the most important of the methods, of all the groups of methods, that is, we'll be dealing with meditation. And the week after that, we'll be dealing with the central institution of Buddhism, that is to say, the spiritual community. But meanwhile, this week, let us close as we began. Let us close with the figure of the Buddha, the figure of Gautama, the Buddha, with the figure of the Buddha seated under the Bodhi tree, the tree of enlightenment, a few weeks after his great awakening. And according to some of the oldest traditional accounts, at that time, some few weeks after his enlightenment, he looked out over the whole world, over the whole of humanity, and he looked not with the eye of flesh, but with his spiritual eye and his spiritual vision. And what did he see? How did he see humanity? How did he see mankind? He saw them with his spiritual vision, with what is called his divine eye, saw them like a great bed of lotus flowers. And he saw that some of the flowers were deeply immersed in the mud. Some, he saw, were half out of the water, and some were standing completely clear of the water. In other words, he saw all these flowers, all these human beings, as being in different stages of growth, different stages of development. And that, we may say, is how Buddhism has seen humanity ever since. As plants capable of producing shoots, as shoots capable of producing buds, as buds capable of opening into flowers, into lotus flowers, even into the thousand-petaled lotus itself. But in order to grow, in order to develop, human beings must have something to grow into. We can't grow unconsciously as a plant does. We must grow consciously. In fact, we may say for human beings, growth is growth in consciousness, growth in awareness. So we need an ideal. And not an ideal for this or that aspect or relationship of his being only, not an ideal for himself simply in this or that relationship of life, but he needs an ideal for himself as a human being, as a man. An ideal, moreover, which is not artificial, but which is natural, not imposed upon him from without, but which is implicit in his own nature, in the depths of his own being. An ideal which represents indeed the fulfillment of his nature in the deepest possible sense. And it's this ideal, the ideal of human enlightenment, which I've tried to communicate to you this evening. Nowadays, we have to recognize many people are skeptical about ideals. Perhaps many of you are skeptical about ideals, and especially perhaps about spiritual ideals. Skeptical about the possibility of transforming the ideal into the real. But Buddhism, we may say, is not skeptical. It has faith in the ideal, in the spiritual ideal, in the ideal of human enlightenment, and it has faith in it because it has faith in man, in the creative potential of man.
And because it has faith in man, it asks man to have faith in himself. It doesn't ask him to believe, least of all to believe, in Buddhism. It asks him to take the ideal of human enlightenment as a practical, working hypothesis. It asks him to make the experiment. It asks him to try.